The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the 2019 September issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We're going to begin today in Who's Who in Sports, page 8, second line. Luka Doncic, small forward, Dallas Mavericks. His height is 6'7", his weight is 218 pounds. He was born February 28, 1999 in Jablanica, Slovenia. Doncic was named the NBA Rookie of the Year after leading the Mavericks in scoring 21.2 points per game and assists 6.0. He added 7.8 rebounds and 1.1 steals. He is the second rookie ever to average at least 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists per game. He is also only the second person to win Rookie of the Year without playing high school or college ball in the United States. The Atlanta Hawks drafted Doncic third overall, then traded him to the Mavericks. Question: who was the first rookie to average at least 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists per game? Answer: Hall of Famer Oscar Robertson. Next, we have Alex Morgan, forward, the United States women's soccer team. Her height is 5'7", her weight is 137 pounds. She was born July 2, 1989, in San Dimas, California. Morgan had 6 goals and 3 assists in 490 minutes to earn the Silver Boot Award and helped the United States win the 2019 Women's World Cup. She scored the go-ahead goal in her team's 2-1 victory over England in the semifinal round. Her other 5 goals came against Thailand in the team's opener, in which Morgan tied the tournament record for most in a game. She scored her 100th international goal in April in a friendly against Australia, becoming the 17th woman to reach the milestone. Question: which team did the United States beat to win the 2019 Women's World Cup? Answer: the Netherlands. And finally, we have Chelsea Gray, guard of the Los Angeles Sparks. Her height is 5'11", her weight is 170 pounds. She was born October 8, 1992, in Manteca, California. In her 5th year in the WNBA, Gray was named to her 3rd straight All-Star game. Through July 21st, she was 6th in the league in assists per game, 5.5, and she was 2nd on the Sparks in points, 13.4. In a win over the Mystics on July 7, she had 13 points, 13 assists, and 10 rebounds to record the 8th triple-double in WNBA history. Gray finished her 4-year career at Duke, 2nd on the program's all-time assist list, 545, and 3rd in steals, 298. Question: when was the last time the Sparks won the WNBA title? Answer: 2016. We're going to continue with the basketball theme with Prime Time. Picture here of R.J. Barrett. His team is the New York Knicks. His position, shooting guard. Spotlight. The Canadian scorer has long been heralded as a star in the making. Now that he's a pro, the first-round draft pick is ready to embrace his bright future. The Santa Monica Pier is one of the most well-worn tourist spots in all of California. But for R.J. Barrett, after the past 12 months, spending 2 hours among strangers was a welcome opportunity to relax and blend into the crowd. So, in between two-a-day workouts one afternoon in late May, he brought some friends from Toronto to the Boardwalk's mini amusement park. They ate hot dogs and funnel cakes. His funnel cake was made of churros, and jumped on a hydraulic tower that took them 44 feet in the air before dropping straight down the Pacific Plunge. Barrett shot carnival free throws. He won a stuffed L.A. Chargers pillow, but he declined to join in on the Inky Scrambler, an octopus-themed spinning teacup sort of thing. "Come on," he said. "That's five-year-old stuff." Just a few weeks later, Barrett, a shooting guard from Duke, was selected with the third pick in June's NBA draft by the New York Knicks, and he's excited for the challenge of playing on one of the game's biggest stages. "I'm glad the city wants me here as much as I want to be here," he said. Barrett's time in the spotlight began well before he even got to college. The 6'7" combo guard's name had been a fixture in basketball circles since he was in middle school. Born in Toronto and raised outside the city in Mississauga, Ontario, he's one of the most heralded basketball projects in Canadian hoops history. His father, Rowan, played professionally throughout Europe and South America. Rowan Jr., RJ, was 3 months old when his dad was in Sydney as the captain of the Canadian Olympic basketball team. His dad's close friend on that 2000 Olympic team, Hall of Famer Steve Nash, is RJ's godfather. "He's becoming an adult before our eyes," Nash says. "With all he's gone through and what's been thrown at him as a human, it's awesome to see him grow up." While Rowan Sr. was still playing abroad in Europe, RJ spent his first 8 years excelling in soccer and lingering on the court after his dad's basketball games. RJ's parents were reluctant to push him toward one sport, but in the end, they couldn't keep him away from basketball. His dad said he was uneasy about the decision to focus solely on hoops. "What are you trying to accomplish in basketball if you're going to quit soccer to do it?" he asked RJ. "Dad, I'm going to be an NBA champion," RJ told him. "One day I want to be in the Hall of Fame." So Rowan took his son to the hardware store. They bought a whiteboard for his bedroom wall and made a list of his goals: be the top high school player in the country, be a McDonald's All-American, attend an elite school, be an NBA All-Star, and an NBA champion. In a universe without an NBA age minimum, Barrett could have gone pro right out of high school. He's glad he wound up at Duke instead. "A college experience is something everyone should have," he said. "Going to Waffle House late at night or the gym at midnight, just being kids." Barrett averaged 22.6 points, 7.6 rebounds, and 4.3 assists for the Blue Devils last season. According to ESPN's Draft Express, whose database goes back to 1980, no teenager has ever matched that line. But criticism came nonetheless. As a nation of basketball fans tuned in to watch his teammate Zion Williamson, they were just as likely to see Barrett crashing into a crowded lane and to wonder why he wasn't passing. When Duke won, Zion was the story. When they lost, everyone focused on RJ. And critics noted that despite his impressive scoring stats, his shooting and efficiency metrics were ordinary. Nash finds a lot of those worries to be overblown. "It's really important to remember he's 18, he says. "You have to project where he'll be in a few years. It just takes time." Family roots. When RJ was born, his dad had to look around and think, "What if I wasn't around? Who would I want to model manners and responsibility for my son?" Nash was the first name that came to mind. The two had met as teenagers on Canada's junior national team and quickly bonded on the court. So when Rowan asked him to be RJ's godfather, Nash said yes right away. These days, RJ and Nash talk every week about the NBA, the draft process, and finding balance amid the chaos. Rowan Sr. remembers one such conversation near the end of high school when RJ began to realize that heightened fame meant less privacy. He leaned on Nash to process this new reality, and as Barrett's dad remembers, Nash said, "You're doing what you love, and when you have a bad day, just think about all that you're fortunate to have." Barrett is most fun when he's still acting like a kid. After a late-night workout with his skills coach, Drew Hanlon, they got into an extended dispute over a recent game of one-on-one. At the end, his trainer joked, "Oh, man, the things a Canadian has to do to get a win over an American." At which point, Barrett threw up his hands and brought up the 2017 Under-19 FBI World Cup, in which he scored 38 points as Canada beat the U.S. en route to gold medal. Hanlon and Barrett still have a lot of work to do. Their priority is to make Barrett's shot more consistent, to make him shiftier in transition, and to improve his balance. Still, Barrett's ability to make plays for teammates and score at the rim will likely make him more dangerous in the NBA than he has or he was at Duke. As he sat on the Ferris wheel at the Santa Monica Pier, Barrett talked about expectations and pressure. The kid who earned comparisons with LeBron James as a high schooler dismissed the notion that life as a prodigy has been a burden. "It makes basketball more fun," he said. "As for the work it took to get this far," he laughed, remembering seventh grade workouts before school, the way he begged his father to let him stay in bed, but then showed up every day to continue working his way through the whiteboard. "It wasn't easy," he said, "but now I get to live the life that I want." And it has a few pictures here of RJ at the Ferris wheel, free time. Barrett put up historic numbers for a teenager at Duke, then let loose a little at Santa Monica Pier in California. Next we have, still on page 19, Maple Magic. Six Canadians were selected in the 2019 NBA draft, the most from any country than the United States in a single year. Four of those players, including Barrett, were first-round picks. Nickeil Alexander-Walker, the New Orleans Pelicans. The Toronto native joins his cousin, Thunder guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, in the NBA this season. Last season, as a sophomore at Virginia Tech, Alexander-Walker led the Hokies with 16.2 points. Brandon Clark, Memphis Grizzlies. Clark made an immediate impact in his lone season at Gonzaga after transferring from San Jose State, becoming the Zags' all-time single-season blocks leader with 117. He was also a third-team All-America. Originally from Vancouver, the 6'8 forward profiles as a defensive specialist who can also slam home big-time dunks. And Mumpandu Kamangele, Los Angeles Clippers. A native of Burlington, Ontario, and the nephew of Hall of Famer Dikembe Mutombo, Kamangele led Florida State in scoring last season. Despite averaging just 21.6 minutes per game, the Clips took him with the 27th overall pick, where he'll provide valuable front court depth. Next, page 20 through 21, My Path to the Pros by Sloane Stephens, as told to by Elizabeth McGar McHugh. In the decades since she turned pro at 16 years old, Sloane Stephens had become one of the top United States players on the WTA Tour. But before she upset Serena Williams at the 2013 Australian Open, or won the 2017 United States Open, or ascended to the number 3 world ranking, Stephens was a kid with a yellow racket, some matching outfits, and a love for tennis that she shared with her family. "I just happened to live across the street from a club in Fresno, California, and that's how I started playing tennis in summer camp when I was around 7. My stepdad played in a league, and I would go and watch him on the weekends. The coach at the club played with my stepdad. I knew him really well, and I was like, okay, I want to play. Then I started taking lessons. My lesson was every Saturday morning at 9:30. I would normally spend the night at my grandparents on the weekends, and they would take me. I would wake up, and my grandma would make me cream of wheat and everything else I loved. Then I would go to my lesson. I learned how to swim in my grandparents' backyard. They have a massive lap pool. It was great, but I hate swimming. I don't know how my mom swam competitively at Boston University. Literally, so boring. I went to a swim school, and it was terrible. I quit that fast. I played soccer and volleyball in elementary school, but I just wasn't very good. Nothing stuck. I played basketball, too, and I did not love that at all. My first racket was a Yellow Prince racket. I had that racket forever. I played with a junior version of it, and then I got the bigger version, and then I got the adult version. Every 2 years, I'd get a new one, but it would be the same yellow racket. Tennis was more of a family activity than anything. That made it fun. My stepdad was really into tennis, and my mom went to the French Open before I was even born. I always say that she secretly wanted me to be a tennis player. My grandparents loved it. Then my aunt Sharon started buying me outfits, and then my other aunt would buy me scrunchies and hair ties and ribbons. I was definitely into the outfits. The shoes always had to be matching. I remember my mom and my stepdad were at my first match. This girl killed me. She'd been playing tournaments for a long time. Anybody who knows me knows that I love hibachi. My stepdad took me to hibachi with my little brother, Sean, and that was it. Every time I would lose a match, my family and I would go out to eat, and it was a whole celebration, even if I lost. It was just very fun, and it wasn't about the competition. It was just going out and playing. My grandparents were like, "You look so cute in your outfit." Everything was just so fun and free and a good time. I started homeschooling when I was in sixth grade because every weekend I would play a tournament, and then I would miss at least a day of school. When I was trying to decide whether to turn pro or to go to college, my mom was like, "Either's good. Let me know. I can never make up my mind." I asked my grandparents, all my uncles and aunts. I took a vote. Everyone's like, "You're really good. You should try it." I was like, "Okay." There was a time when tennis had gotten me down. It was when I started having better results, and I was up in the top 20. I had to learn how to maneuver my new life and my career. I was like, "Oh, I have to focus if I want to stay here. I have to practice more. I got to do this. I got to improve." It was very confusing and very hard. Once I figured out how to manage everything in my life, things got very joyful again. I started my foundation in Los Angeles in 2013 to give other kids who wouldn't normally have the opportunity to play tennis that opportunity to pick up a racket. At the beginning of the program, we have a day for around 500 kids. At the end of the tennis term, we have another one. All of the same kids come again. They're like, "Oh my gosh, tennis is so fun. I had the best time ever." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, me too. I love kids, and I love helping and teaching and watching them develop." As a kid, I never even dreamed it would be anything like this. I thought, "Oh, it's just fun now." I never thought I'd be in the position I am today and have any impact on anyone else's life. I have been able to do so many amazing things and meet so many amazing people. From start to finish, it's been a really cool, fun journey. And shows here Sloan as a young girl, probably about 7 or 8. Love at first swing. Stevens dabbled in other sports, but preferred tennis, the sport her stepdad played, over swimming, the sport in which her mom was an All-America. Back to school. Whether you're scoring big on a test or on the court, do it in style with these outfits, accessories, and gadgets. Book looks. STEM stuff. Learning is fun. With these items in tow, that's especially true. For educational play at home, there's KiwiCo's Eureka Crate, a box that arrives monthly with a new engineering project to build, like an electric pencil sharpener or an automaton. And for the younger kids, there's the Discovery Crystal Aquarium, a fun way to grow crystalline structures of different colors and shapes. Math wizards will love the TI-84 Plus CE, the latest edition of the world's most famous graphing calculator. Or, for the kids not quite on trigonometry, there's the Octopus Watch, which teaches younger students time management and has a fitness tracker. Finally, show off your love of space with the Bayside Backpack. Court Camo. Sports aren't about baggy jerseys and sweatpants anymore. Athletic wear is as much about making a personal statement in class as it is about making the perfect shot. Camouflage is in, so throw your pregame fuel in the Kinsho Camo Bento box set. And the Don the Under Armour Rival printed hoodie. You can even stay hydrated in style with the bodacious bamboo bottles from Welly, like this original 12-ounce mug. Then there's the gear you need once it's time for practice. The Kyrie 5 SpongeBob Square Pants looks good on the court or in a pineapple under the sea. And for the future hardcore pros, there's the Ultra 100L Camo Tennis Racket. Yes, we picked it for the camo, but it's still got the power and lightweight feel you expect from a Wilson racket. Next, vintage vibes. Everything old is new again. The easiest way to look cool is to remind all your friends of an era they couldn't possibly remember. Check out the throwback hats from 1947 brand like the Braves 1972 All-Star Game Cooperstown 47 cleanup. And grab the matching Herschel Supply Company Heritage Backpack for your favorite team. And if you want to really throw it back, throw on the Grounds Crew Jackets from Ebbets Field Flannels, which feature tons of obscure and defunct teams. For an old-school feel on the diamond, ditch the BB Core for Louisville Sluggers MLB Prime Ash DJ2 Old-Fashioned Bat. And keep the vintage vibe going on the couch with Super Mario Maker 2 for the Nintendo Switch. Crazy colorful. For the building budding artist whose accessories need to be as bright as his or her clothing, we've got you covered too. The subscription box from Kid Pick provides outfits for girls that are curated by a stylist. Add a splash of color to your class notes with the tactile, never tacky, stringy, stretchy pink journal by Fashion Angels. And the 14-pack of Take Note Washable Gel Pens from Crayola. When you want to be seen and heard, there's the JBL Junior Pop Portable Speaker. It features 5-hour battery life and Bluetooth streaming. It's waterproof, too, if you've got a pump-up playlist for swim practice. And for a shoe that matches your soundtrack, slip on the USB rechargeable light-up Fairmont tie-dye blue shoes. Page 26, poster face-up. Megan Rapinoe versus Mike Trout. USWNT and reigning FC forward. Mike Trout, Los Angeles center fielder. Age, Megan is 34, Mike, 28. Height, Megan is 5'7", 133 pounds. Mike is 6'2", 235 pounds. Hometown, Megan Rapinoe is from Redding, California. Mike Trout is from Millville, New Jersey. Nicknames, Megan Rapinoe is Pino. Mike Trout, Millville Meteor and King Flesh 20. Former Angel Tim Salmon, another player with a fishy last name, is the original King Fish. Good works. Megan Rapinoe does work for the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network and was one of the first women to join Common Goal, a soccer-related charity started by Manchester United's Juan Mata. Mike Trout is well known for interacting with his young fans, most notably Gavin Edelson, whom Trout pulled out of the crowd to join the Angels in pregame exercises. All in the family, Megan Rapinoe. Twin sister Rachel played for the United States under-23 national team and in a professional league in Iceland. Mike Trout. Dad Jeff was an All-America second baseman at Delaware. He played 4 minor league seasons before injuries ended his career. Pre-game snack, Megan Rapinoe, energy bar, or a handful of almonds. Mike Trout, pickles. Six strings, Megan Rapinoe, when she was a kid, her mom made her play an instrument. She chose guitar. Mom was evil at the time, but now she's brilliant for it. Rapinoe jokes she now takes a guitar almost everywhere she goes. Mike Trout was presented with a custom electric guitar when he visited the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland in July. Trout was in town for the All-Star Game, his eighth straight Midsummer Classic. Movies. Megan Rapinoe. Favorite film, The Shawshank Redemption. Mike Trout. Favorite baseball flick, The Sandlot. Career highlights. Megan Rapinoe. 2019 at the Women's World Cup in France, Rapinoe won the Golden Boot as the tournament's highest scoring player and the Golden Ball as its top player. Against the Netherlands in the final, Rapinoe scored the game's first goal on a penalty kick as the United States won 2-0. Earlier, she had scored two goals in the round of 16 and another pair in the quarterfinals. 2015, Rapinoe scored twice in group play at the World Cup in Canada, helping the United States to its third championship. She also led her club, Seattle Reign Football Club, to the best record in the National Women's Soccer League for the second consecutive year, scoring 5 goals in 10 games. 2006, after her freshman season at the University of Portland, during which she helped the Pilots win the 2005 national title, Rapinoe made her debut for the United States national team. She scored her first 2 goals in a rout of Chinese Taipei on October 1st. 4 days later, she tore her ACL playing for Portland. She then suffered another ACL tear 2 games into the 2007 season. And highlights from Mike Trout. On July 13th, Trout hit his 30th home run of the year, marking the 6th time in his 8-season career that he reached that milestone. Through July 21st, he was leading the American League in homers, 32, RBIs, 79, and on-base percentage, 448, and slugging percentage, 664. 2017. For the only time in his career, Trout didn't finish first or second in the American League Most Valuable Player voting. He finished 4th after missing 48 games. He still hit 33 home runs and had the second-best offensive WAR in the league. 2010. At age 19, Trout won the J.G. Taylor Spink Award as the top player in the minor leagues. Playing for 2 teams, he hit 341 with 56 stolen bases and 10 home runs. He made his major league debut the following summer and hit his first home run on July 24th, 2 weeks before his 20th birthday. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or question, please call 919-832-5138. A little bit of time, I showed some cash.